Two dream jets emerge from the recession with vital signs intact. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. One of the most frustrating aspects of a long recession has been seeing some terrific new aircraft projects put on hold. Some have not survived the wait, but a few of the more inspiring ones remain ready to pick up where they left off. Today, two sexy bizjet projects get an update. The Stratus 714 was aimed at a unique space in the lightjet world. Promising four seats, 400 knots cruise, at 41,000 feet, it addressed applications for which even the Eclipse 500 would be flying with empty seats. Design changes in the meantime may have blurred that line a little, with new options for more seats and or an aft lavatory. ANN's Jim Campbell got an update on the project at NBAA 2010 from Alex Craig, president and CEO of Stratus Aircraft.
Obvious question, what's happening with Stratus, and when can I take mine home?
Jim, number one, we've had the privilege this past year to continue development. The development is almost complete at this point, and we're about ready to authorize building serial number one. Serial number one will not be a proof of concept like some of our competitors have done, but will be a conformable aircraft because we've had the privilege to take the time to think through to get the design right. We've had the privilege to make a number of improvements this past year over what we shared with you last year at NBAA. First, we've moved the pressure bulkhead back another just over 12 inches, now achieving 180 cubic feet instead of 170 cubic feet, which has allowed two things to happen. One, for customers that really do want six seats, we can now put six seats in. More importantly, for my wife and the female gender, we now have adequate positions for putting in a bathroom behind the rear seats. Given a 1,500 nautical mile range at Mach 0.7, 3.7 hours takes you from New York to West Palm Beach nonstop with a certifiable altitude of 41,000 feet. We believe that this aircraft at this point will indeed set a new benchmark for both performance, luxury, and lower direct cost of operations.
What has the last year's worth of development taught you?
That the lessons learned that we had laid out from the previous failures and attempts have indeed come true. And it's been our privilege to take those lessons learned and incorporate them into this aircraft. Second, this aircraft, as you knew from last year, has no new technology on it. All of the major elements are already FAA certified. That has turned out to be a key success driver for us because we're not trying to push technology. This is a pure project execution project. It is not trying to change the world. But what it is achieving at this point is a new benchmark in price, performance, and efficiency.
Now, what should be the roadmap from here as far as the development and eventual certification and delivery of the vehicle? I realize the crystal ball at this point is a little murky, but we'll give it a shot.
There are two major elements that we're actively working on right now. As you know, we're, I think, very quickly now going to clear our initial external investment, which has been a true challenge in this environment. And number two, we're in active discussions now with a small number of finalists as to where to locate the company for our production operations. It is my hope and intent that we can conclude those discussions successfully so that we will build serial number one in our final location.
Where do you see this market going? I mean, we've been through a tough time, and everything's been redefined. Has the roadmap changed at all? Or, I mean, are you seeing yourself either redefining or on target?
Actually, it's reconfirmed what we laid out 3 years ago. We have the most fuel-efficient solution on the market today, with direct operating costs at 500 nautical miles of $1.39 a model, and at 1,500 nautical miles at $1.19. We're actually more cost-efficient at this point than a number of turboprops that are on the market today. And as you already know, the comfort and luxury we provide, nothing else touches.
Let's talk about the competitive aspect. We're hearing some revitalization of the single-engine concept among certain markets. Where do you fit in all that? Still feeling like you're in a pretty good position?
Jim, I actually think that the competition has now recognized that we have set the benchmark at this point, and they're now responding to it. And I think with locking this initial round of funding, we will go ballistic at this point. And good luck to the competition. I think we fit very well. There is no one else in the space at this point. and we get the first airplane up and flying, it will confirm the benchmark.
Airplanes like this, whether they be single-engine jets, whether they be some of the small VLJs, whether they be the single-engine turboprops or the high-end piston, are giving people an edge. Do you see those tools being recognized and utilized more based on the interfacing you're having with your potential customer? Are people getting smart enough about this as a business tool?
I think one of the key elements that was pointed out when the auto industry CEOs flew their Gulfstreams into Washington, that the day of the excess Gulfstream with one or two passengers in the back is just not going to be acceptable to the general public. And something that's far greener, far more fuel efficient, and can get into the smaller fields with ease but with speed is what's going to be the benchmark. And that, again, just reconfirms the original strategy of Stratus.
And it doesn't hurt that it's a good-looking bird to boot, right?
I thank you. I really appreciate that. We've had a lot of compliments on the design. But you know what? You get the right aero, and it looks gorgeous, too.
Find out more about the company online at stratusaircraft.com. In a moment, what if you dream bigger, or more precisely, dream much faster? You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and no ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Piperjet.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Welcome back to the ANN special feature. Another wow project which appears to have survived a hibernation is the Ariane supersonic business jet. Think leaving Paris at 8 a.m. for a breakfast meeting in Manhattan. As in Mach 0.98 over populated areas, Mach 1.6 over the Atlantic. ANN's Tom Patton gets an update from Ariane Corp Vice Chairman Brian Behrens, starting with the unique challenges in developing the SSBJ.
Well, we've taken a very traditional approach and staying with a very conventional design with regard to materials, construction techniques, flight controls. We're using an existing engine with the JT8D-219 engine. So it's really quite conventional, and we've tried to design out any areas that would impose risk in the program. So other than the fact that we're going 1.6 Mach, it's a very conventional airplane.
What are some of those tests that have been going on at Dryden?
Well, we're validating some of the test points with the airplane up to Mach 2. We will follow up with an actual facsimile of the wing scale model underneath the F-15, which will give us some additional data. One of the things that allows us to do is to get live data as opposed to a wind tunnel that does impose some noise that doesn't give you the same degree of accuracy as you might get in a subsonic tunnel.
Talk to us about where you are in the overall project. Is it something that you're looking at you might actually be flying in X number of years?
Well, the program is a five-year program once we start a hard launch. The next major phase will be engaging an OEM as a partner. And then from that time, it'll be a five-year program to market. I don't expect that under these conditions we're going to announce an OEM for probably at least a year. So that would be about a 2016 introduction when the time comes. A lot of that's dependent on the conditions of the market and an OEM's ability to participate and finance a $3 billion program.
When you talk about using some conventional materials, it's actually a very conventional airplane. Are you looking at composite construction, or are you using a more conventional material? What's the airplane made of?
Well, the wing will be made of carbon fiber, and that's required for both stiffness and strength. Part of the design incorporates natural laminar flow characteristics, so you need to require the smoothness of the wing throughout the flight envelope. So that's why we'll be using carbon fiber. Our assumptions are that we will build the fuselage out of conventional metal. We've limited the speed to 1.6 Mach, and we're going to be flying below 51,000 feet. So that allows us to use conventional construction techniques in the design.
Is that a price consideration, or is it actually better material for what you're doing?
Well, it's material that works for what we're doing, and in some cases it's a price consideration. It may be that in some cases we may use carbon fiber in the fuselage. We haven't made that decision yet, and that will be influenced by the OEM as well.
What kind of interest are you getting from the marketplace in the airplane?
Well, we started taking orders 3 years ago. We established a $4 billion order book, and that was prior to going into the recession. We've been able to retain that order book, and that says something with regard to the level of interest in the airplane itself. There are a lot of manufacturers that would be very envious to have that experience. So I think it does speak well for the interest in the airplane.
Find out more about the Aireon SSBJ at aireoncorp.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.